Sit down, your honorable lord. Vana may be shrouded in her hair. I'll die a while of piteously lament the untimely fall of virtuous length. Poor, keen, cold figure of a holy king. Pale ashes of the house of Lancaster. Thou bloodless remnant of that royal blood. Be it lawful that I invocate thy ghost to hear the lamentations of poor Anne. Wife to thy Edward, to thy slaughtered son. Stabbed by the self-same hand that made these wounds. Low in these windows that let forth thy life, I pour the helpless balm of my poor eyes. Oh, cursed be the hand that made these holes. Cursed the blood that let this blood from hence. Cursed the heart that had the heart to do it. More direful hap betide that hated wretch that makes us wretched by the death of thee than I can wish to wolves, to spiders, toads, or any creeping venom thing that lives. Never be my child, aborted be it, prodigious and untimely brought to light, whose ugly and unnatural aspect may fright the hopeful mother of the few, and that the heir to his unhappiness. If ever he have wife, let her be made more miserable by the life of him than I am by my young lord's death and thee. Come now, towards Chertsey with your holy load, taken from Paul's to be interred there. And still, as you are weary of the wait, rest you, while I lament King Henry's course.
Stay, you that wear the course and set it down.
What black magician conjured up this fiend to stop devoted charitable deeds?
Villain, set down the course. Or by St. Paul, I make a course of him that disobeys.
My lord, stand back and let the coffin pass.
Unman of dogs, stand thou when I command. Advance thy halberd higher than my breast, or by St. Paul, I'll strike thee to my foot and spurn upon thee, beggar, for thy boldness.
What, do you tremble? Are you all afraid? Alas, I blame you not, for you are mortal. And mortal eyes cannot endure the devil. Avaunt, thou dreadful minister of hell. Thou hast but power over his mortal body. His soul thou canst not have. Thou will be gone.
Sweet saint, for charity be not so cursed.
Thou devil, for God's sake, hence, and trouble us not. For thou hast made the happy earth thy hell, filled it with cursing cries and deep exclaims. If thou delight to view thy heinous deeds, behold this pattern of thy butcheries. Oh, children, See, dead Henry's wounds open their congealed mouths and bleed afresh. Blush, thou lump of foul deformity. For 'tis thy presence that exhales this blood from cold and empty veins where no blood dwells. Thy deeds, inhuman and unnatural, provokes this deluge most unnatural. Oh, God, which this blood makes, revenge his death. O earth which this blood drinks, revenge his death. Either heaven with lightning strike the murderer dead, or earth gape open wide and eat him quick, as thou dost swallow up this good king's blood which his hell-governed arm hath butchered.
Lady, you know no rules of charity, which renders good for bad, blessings for curses.
Villain, thou knowest no law of God nor man, no beast so fierce but knows some touch of pity.
But I know none. And therefore I am no beast.
Oh, wonderful when devils tell the truth.
More wonderful when angels are so angry. Vouchsafe, divine perfection of a woman, of these supposed crimes, to give me leave by circumstance, but to acquit myself.
Vouchsafe, diffused infection of a man, of these known evils, but to give me leave by circumstance, to accuse thy cursed self.
Fairer than tongue can name thee, let me have some patient leisure to excuse myself.
Fouler than heart can think thee. Thou canst make no excuse current but to hang thyself.
By such despair I should accuse myself.
And by despairing shalt thou stand excused for doing worthy vengeance on thyself that didst unworthy slaughter upon others.
Say that I slew them not.
Then say they were not slain, but dead they are, and devilish slave by thee.
I did not kill your husband.
Why then he is alive.
Nay, he's dead, and slain by Edward's hands.
In thy foul throat thou liest. Queen Margaret saw thy murderous falchion smoking in his blood,
the which thou once didst bend against her breast so that thy brothers beat aside the point?
I was provoked by a slanderous tongue that laid their guilt upon my guiltless shoulders.
Thou wast provoked by thy bloody mind that never dreamt on aught but butcheries. Didst thou not kill this king?
I grant ye.
Dost grant me, hedgehog? Then God grant me too, thou mayst be damned for that wicked deed. Oh, he was gentle, mild, and virtuous.
The better for the king of heaven that hath him.
He is in heaven where thou shalt never come.
Let him thank me that hoped to send him thither, for he was fitter for that place than earth.
And thou unfit for any place but hell.
Yea, one place else, if you will hear me name it.
Some dungeon.
Your bedchamber.
Here will rest beside the chamber where thou liest.
So will it, madam, till I lie with you.
I hope so.
I know so. But, gentle Lady Anne, to leave this keen encounter of our wits and pour something into a slower method, is not the causer of the timeless deaths of these Plantagenets, Henry and Edward, as blameful as the executioner?
Thou wast the cause of that accursed effect.
Your beauty was the cause of that effect. Your beauty, that did haunt me in my sleep to undertake the death of all the world, so I might live 1 hour in your sweet bosom.
If I thought that, I tell thee, homicide, these nails should rend that beauty from thy cheeks.
These eyes could not endure that beauty's wreck. You should not blemish it if I stood by. As all the world is cheered by the sun, so I by that. It is my day, my life.
Black night or shade thy day, and death thy life.
Curse not thyself, fair creature. Thou art both.
I would I were to be revenged on thee.
It is a quarrel most unnatural to be revenged on him that loveth thee.
It is a quarrel just and reasonable to be revenged on him that killed my husband.
He that bereft thee, lady, of thy husband, did it to help thee to a better husband.
His better doth not breathe upon the earth.
He lives that loves thee better than he could.
Name him.
Plantagenet.
Why, that was he.
The selfsame name, but one of better nature.
Where is he?
Here. Why dost thou spit at me?
Would it were mortal poison for thy sake.
Never came poison from so sweet a place.
Never hung poison on a fouler toad. Out of my sight thou dost infect mine eyes.
Thine eyes, sweet lady, have infected mine.
Would they were basilisks to strike thee dead.
I would they were, that I might die at once. For now they kill me with a living death. Those eyes of thine from mine have drawn salt tears, shamed their aspects with store of childish drops. These eyes, which never shed remorseful tear, no, when my father York and Edward wept to hear the piteous moan that Rutland made when black-faced Clifford shook his sword at him, nor when thy warlike father, like a child, told the sad story of my father's death, and 20 times made pause to sob and weep, that all the standers-by had wet their cheeks like trees bedashed with rain. In that sad time, my manly eyes did scorn an humble tear. And what these sorrows could not thence exhale, thy beauty hath, and made them blind with weeping. I never sued to friend or enemy. My tongue could never learn sweet, smoothing word. But now thy beauty is proposed my fee, my proud heart sues, and prompts my tongue to speak. Teach not thy lips of scorn, for it was made for kissing, lady, not for such contempt. If thy revengeful heart cannot forgive, lo, here I lend thee this sharp pointed sword, which if thou please to hide in this true breast, and let the soul forth that adoreth thee, I lay it naked to the deadly stroke, and humbly beg the death upon my knee. Nay, do not pause. For I did kill King Henry, but 'twas thy beauty that provoked me. Nay, now dispatch. 'Twas I that stabbed young Edward, but 'twas thy heavenly face that set me on. Take up the sword again. take up me.
Arise, dissembler. Though I wish thy death, I will not be thy executioner.
Then bid me kill myself, and I will do it.
I have already.
That was in thy rage. Speak it again. And even with the word, this hand, which for thy love did kill thy love, shall for thy love kill a far truer love. To both their deaths shalt thou be accessory.
I would I knew thy heart.
'Tis figured in my tongue.
I fear me both are false.
Then never was man true.
Well, well. Put up your sword.
Say then. My peace is made.
That shalt thou know hereafter.
But shall I live in hope?
All men, I hope, live so.
But safe to wear this ring.
To take is not to give.
Look how my ring encompasseth thy finger. Even so thy breast encloseth my poor heart. Wear both of them, for both of them are thine. And if thy poor devoted servant may but beg one favor at thy gracious hand, thou dost confirm his happiness forever.
What is it?
That it may please you leave these sad designs to him that hath most cause to be a mourner, and presently repair to Crosby House, where, after I have solemnly interred at Chertsey Monastery this noble king, and wet his grave with my repentant tears, I will with all expedient duty see you. For divers unknown reasons, I beseech you, grant me this boon.
With all my heart. And much it joys me, too, to see one become so penitent. Tristram and Barclay, go along with me.
Bid me farewell.
Tis more than you deserve. But since you teach me how to flatter you, imagine I have said farewell already.
Sirs, take up the course.
Toward Chertsey, noble lord?
No. To Whitefriars. There attend my coming. Was ever woman in this humor wooed? Was ever woman in this humor won? I'll have her, but I will not keep her long. What? I that killed her husband and his father, to take her in her heart's extremest hate, with curses in her mouth, tears in her eyes, the bleeding witness of my hatred by, having God, her conscience, and these bars against me, and I no friends to back my suit at all, but the plain devil and dissembling looks, and yet to win her, all the world to nothing. Had she forgot already that brave prince, Edward, her lord, whom I some 3 months since stabbed in my angry mood at Tewkesbury? A sweeter and a lovelier gentleman, framed in the prodigality of nature, young, valiant, wise, and no doubt right royal, the spacious world cannot again afford. And will she yet abase her eyes on me, that cropped the golden prime of this sweet prince, and made her widow to a woeful bed? On me, who's all not equals Edward's moiety? On me, false and misshapen thus? My dukedom to a beggarly denier, I do mistake my person all this while. Upon my life, she finds, although I cannot myself to be, a marvelous proper man. I fear charges for a looking glass, and entertain a score or two of tailors to study fashions to adorn my body. Since I am crept in favor with myself, I will maintain it with some little cost. First, I'll turn yon fellow in his grave, and then return lamenting to my love. Shine out, fair sun, till I have brought a glass, that I may see my shadow as I pass.